Good evening. This is John Hall. I'm the host tonight. I'm a partnering with Dr. Ward Joyner, who's a health nutritionist. He's not on tonight, but I have a wonderful guest that we're going to introduce here in a few minutes. And I want to say hello to everybody. We're in Roseville, California. My guest coming on the air is from New York City. Let me explain what we're up to tonight. We are, when I say we, Dr. Joyner and I consider ourselves holistics in helping people with life-threatening diseases. I'm one of the fortunate ones that recovered from cancer, melanoma, without chemo, without radiation, and only through nutrition and my spiritual values and beliefs. And so when I called Nomi, and I'm going to introduce Nomi Bahar, and when I first met her on the phone recently, I found out that we're quite aligned in our intentions, because she considers herself to be holistic in all the areas, physical, psychological, and spiritual. And so welcome aboard, Nomi Bahar.
Thank you. You said it well.
Well, thank you. I'm an older man. I've spoken a lot in public and in different places in life, and I'm learning through my experience of having had cancer and overcoming cancer. My horizons have broadened, and when I heard what you're up to, they're going to broaden even more. And Nomi calls herself a counseling and self-actualizing therapist. And I'm going to let her kind of take over here and tell us all about herself. But I want to ask you these three questions right in the beginning, so to kind of kick you off, help you get started quicker. Number one, how did you personally get involved in your work? For example, I got involved in my work through my diagnosis of cancer. And then secondly, what's your motivation for your work? And thirdly, how has your past work experiences contributed to your work successes today? So you can go ahead, Nomi.
Are you going to remind me of those questions? I'm gonna tackle first.
By all means.
Just
go ahead and tell us about your work.
Okay. So the first question was, how did I get to do what I'm doing? Right?
Exactly.
Well, I started my journey in life as an actor. I was born and raised in Israel, and there I went to the Academy for the Performing Arts and became a very successful young actor. I came to New York on a grant, and I was acting and dancing and doing my thing as a performer.
Wonderful.
And at some point around the age of 34, I had a major breakdown. I went through a separation, and I slipped into a very deep depression, and I actually didn't want to live. I remember thinking that I just don't want to continue. And as a result, my body shut down, and I was not able to digest any foods. I became very thin, and I was really close to going.
So you were really suffering. I had a similar experience in my 40s after a breakup. So continue.
It was shattering, you know, and all the old hurts and wounds came up to the surface, and that's when I started therapy, and that's when I discovered this whole world of healing, and became very, very interested. And of course, it saved my life.
Yes.
So that's how I became interested in healing. Now, my first therapist was primal therapy, and it's a very, you know, it's called screen therapy. It's very cathartic, very expressive, kind of very intense.
I'm familiar with it. It's a way of releasing these intense bottled up emotions of ours.
Exactly. and it goes to pre-verbal, and so you're shaking and you're screaming and you don't know sometimes what you're saying and what you're doing, but it's definitely a very deep release.
Mm-hmm.
So my therapist of then said to me, because I was in a group too, and he said, you know, Nomi, you're a born therapist. And I said, what? I'm an actor, and I don't want to hear about that. Well, I'm going to say that a few more times. And he kept saying it. And then one night, in the middle of the night, the small voice inside of me said, I think he's right. And so my first training was in primal therapy. He had a center, and I did 3 years of training with him. And then I continued to train in bioenergetics. And I was working with Loewen himself as my therapist, and I kept going from these two trainings, which are very wonderful and intense. I went to Gestalt. I did a peer group informal training in Gestalt. And then I went for a couple of years to train in psychodrama. So
were you at a university while you were going through these trainings?
No, I actually just did the trainings.
You just went from one training to another. Okay.
I just went from one to another. And I was still performing as I was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And, and eventually I started my practice and... and started working. But all these modalities are very expressive and experiential, and they use body and the emotions and creativity and intuition. And that felt great for me.
Well, I'm curious, since we deal a lot in the physical with nutrition here, how are you affected? Could you expand a little bit? How are you affected at the physical level when you were in crisis? Were you taking any nutritional aids? Were you consulting with doctors regarding your physical health?
When I was very sick, I was. But what really, I was always eating healthy, and I never didn't eat healthy. Really, I think what helped me was the emotional and spiritual shift that I went through.
Okay.
That helped me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I came to love the healing work and to appreciate the beauty of it, the creativity of it.
Sure. How did you get into this, you say you're part of the White Cedar Institute for Expanded Living?
I'm not part of, I'm the creator of.
Oh, you founded that, I'm sorry.
Yes, I founded that. I have been working for 25 years, counseling and coaching, with individuals, couples, groups, leading workshops, lecturing. So about 7 years ago, I founded the Institute, and in parallel, I have put into the patent office a method that I have been working on for the last 15 years that's called Gates of Power. And it's a method for self-healing and self-actualization that facilitates shifts of consciousness from limitations to possibilities and expandedness, and from lack of alignment, spiritual, emotional, physical, back into alignment and into inner strength and wholeness.
Pardon me for interrupting, but I want the audience to know that if you're feeling limited in your life, and you feel like things aren't happening just right, and you feel off balance at an emotional, spiritual level, listen closely to what Nomi has to say now. Continue, Nomi.
So, I want to explain a little more about this method, but I guess I can get to it a little later on. But it's a method that's very effective because it's comprehensive and holistic, and it's very engaging because it is experiential and creative and spiritual. So it's also fun and very moving.
Well, you can jump into it right now, and we're going to take a break at halftime, but you can begin now, and then we'll finish up the second half.
Okay, so let me explain a little bit about this. What is this method all about? Why is it called Gates of Power and so on? So I have found that we have seven facets to our being. And these facets, we can think about them as maybe windows, as if we were a house. We have seven beautiful windows, and our inner light shines through these windows out to the world, and the light from outside shines within. So these windows or channels I called gates. They're portals of expression from the inner being out, and as I said, from outside in. And those seven portals are called gates. The first one is the gate of the body. We do express through the body. The second one is the gate of emotions. The third one is the gate of dialogue, which is the gate of relationships with ourselves and others. The fourth one is the gate of creative expression. The fifth one is the gate of life path. The sixth one is the gate of silence. And the last one is the gate of knowledge. So all these gates comprise our being, our body, our emotions, our relationships, creativity, and so on. And when they're all open and free and energized, we are in a state of balance and wholeness. When they're blocked, or some of them are blocked, then we feel blocked. So the method helps you unblock, energize, and express clearly through those gates.
So all of you audience out there that are presently suffering from a life-threatening disease such as cancer or any of the other diseases, listen closely, because even at a subconscious level, if not a conscious level, we're all processing in our minds the data or the information that Nomi's providing here. So pay attention to each one, because they're all very meaningful. This is one of the reasons I brought Nomi on the air with us, because I think we all need to hear it. So,
yes, you know, sometimes we pay attention to our body and to our career, but we're not paying attention to our emotions or to our relationships. And we cannot be whole when we only are working with one or two gates. All these facets have to be integrated, because they're all woven together. They all have to be holistically working together. You know, we know people that are very powerful when it comes to, let's say, their spirituality, but they neglect their relationships, or they neglect their body. And others that are very strong physically and very strong with their relationships. relationships, you know, but are not working. So I think you understand the idea. The idea is that all
sure,
of
sure.
these have to be, they work together.
Sure.
So another concept that's important with Gates of Power is that we have three aspects within our inner core, and the emotional self, the defensive self, and the expanded self. And all these have to, all three of these have to work together. Many times the emotional self is hidden and repressed. The defensive mm-hmm. self is having a ball, being defensive. And the expanded self sometimes is not even in the picture. So we need to create a balance between all three, and they need to be working together under the leadership of the expanded self, which is the part of us that is wise and compassionate and has spiritual knowledge.
Could you expand a little bit on the what the defensive self is?
Yes. The defensive self is what we have created, usually as young people, very young people, to survive within our family. If within your family you feel that you must be a good boy, or, you know, mommy and daddy are not going to be approving of you, then you learn to be a good boy, and that becomes your defensive self. You learn to please and appease and be good and do just as you're told to do. And it keeps you surviving within your family, but what it does, it suffocates your expression. It suffocates your authenticity, your creativity, and your spontaneity.
So it's almost like you're not being yourself. You're kind of acting or being like someone else wants you to be.
Yes, it's called the false self in some psychology, systems. What it is we have created some kind of a protective coat, an armor, a way of being that helped us survive, but it's keeping us imprisoned.
All right.
So we want to melt that down and soften that and allow our emotional authenticity to come through and so on.
Very good.
So I forgot what the second question was.
Well, you were going to get into the second of these seven that you were listing.
The seven gates?
You did the first gate. I think you were going to move into the second gate.
I said all the gates. One of the gates is the body, the gate of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. The number two is the gate of emotions.
Yes.
Yep.
Number three is the gate of dialogue, which is the gate of relationships. Number four is the gate of creative expression. Number five is the gate of life path. Number six is the gate of silence, which is meditation and prayer. And number seven is the gate of knowledge, knowledge of truth. Knowledge of truth can be reached at through history, through science, through art, through any kind of knowledge. All knowledge eventually takes you to understand life and to understand truth. So that's the last gate, which is the gate of knowledge.
So Naomi, cancer people, like myself, having gone through it for 4 years, we were in pretty bad pain.
Right.
And it affects us, at a very deep emotional level. Yeah. It affects us in all of our relationships with relatives and friends or work associates. And I'd like you, in the second half of the program, if you would, to try to expand on each one of these seven gates.
Okay.
So that we'll get a sense of how this would work for someone who's sick.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. Yes.
Okay, great. We're going to take our break right now. It's going to be about a 2-minute break, and then we'll be back. So this is John Hall and Naomi Bahar. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hello, I am John Hall. I'm the author of the book Beating Cancer Can Be Fun. I wrote a book on cancer fighting strategies for first-time diagnosed cancer patients. You heard it right. I'm the author. My name is John Hall. I recovered from metastatic melanoma over the last 3 years without chemo, without radiation, and without interferon. And I'm demonstrating in the book evidence-based nutrition can heal cancers. In the book, you will learn why, in most cancer types, natural foods are superior to chemo or radiation. What is wrong with the medical community? Orthodox medicine could easily have a painless 90% cure rate on newly diagnosed cancer patients by using protocols I will recommend in my book, and yet they continue to use treatments which have less than a 3% cure rate. You can buy this book on ebook through Amazon.com, through the Nook, or at Barnes & Noble.
All right, we're back on the air. Naomi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Very good.
So
we were talking about the Gates of Power method, and Naomi's going to tell us more about it.
Okay, so when, as you said, when somebody is in crisis, and the crisis can be physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever it might be, the best thing I think that you could do is work holistically with all the facets of yourself. And build yourself, build your inner strength that way. So let's take an example. Let's say that somebody is fighting with a disease like cancer. The gate of the body is very important to take in the right nutrition, the right supplements, the right breathing, the right exercise, the right environment, physical environment.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is the gate of the body. And that is a very important gate, whether you are physically sick or not sick. The body is our temple, and it needs to be cared for.
Absolutely.
So too many of us neglect it and need to pay attention to it.
In my case, I didn't realize that my diet was not good at all. I was eating too much sugars and my foods, and I was taking in all kinds of nutrients that were actually poisoning my system.
Right. So when I work with clients, I immediately check. I'm not a nutritionist, but I myself eat very, very healthy. I check with them, how are they eating, and how are they exercising, how are they breathing, how are they resting, how are they balancing work with relaxation, and so on and so forth. So that is the gate of the body. The gate of emotions. We know how important emotions are. They're very, very important. Now, if you are repressing them, if you have a lot of unresolved feelings, if you have a lot of anger, if you have a lot of anguish, If you have a lot of fear, it will affect your body. And we need to clear the gate of emotions.
There's a lot of evidence in my research and through doctors that I researched that shows that if we don't handle our emotions intelligently, such as fear and anger, it will significantly lower our immune systems and thereby prevent us from healing.
Exactly. So the gate of emotions, I've created a lot of exercises and processes to help release, understand, acknowledge feelings, allow them to reintegrate and flow so that there is a healthy flow in the realm of emotions and how to express emotions properly and creatively. So that's the gate of emotions. Now, the gate of dialogue, which is the gate of relationships with ourselves and others. We all know that if our relationship with ourselves is critical, abusive, shaming, then we will be like that with other people. And if we're not loving towards ourselves, of course it's going to affect our emotions, and of course it's going to affect the body. So we already see how these three gates are very deeply intertwined.
And I'm personally a family counselor, and I consider myself a relationship counselor. And I know from many experiences with hundreds of people that if they don't handle these emotions intelligently, they're going to be miserable. And if they don't love themselves in the right way, it will affect directly how they are alienating themselves or cutting themselves off from other people from whom they want love and want to give love to.
Absolutely. You nailed it. If you can't open up to accept and love yourself and have a healthy dialogue with yourself, you're not going to let in love, and you're not going to be able to express love. And we know that love is nourishing. It's like the air we breathe, and it's like the food we eat. And if we cannot open our heart and feel that love flowing back and forth, we will get sick.
That's
the gate of dialogue. And I am training people to have healthy dialogue with themselves, where their expanded self, which is the loving, wise part of yourself, can train your defensive self, which is most of the time nasty and critical, and can heal your emotional self. So the inner dialogue between us and ourselves needs to be healed, and then the dialogue with others needs to be developed.
Fundamental, absolutely, yeah.
So it's fundamental. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to the gate of creative expression. We know that we all want to be expressive, whether we admit it or not. And we all are creative, whether we are artists or not. So it's to be creative and expressive is a joy to the soul. And we all want that. So it's a very important gate. It's a gate of being able to express ourselves creatively.
I have a question about this. When a person's feeling very weak, and they're wondering, well, where am I going to get the energy to be creative? What ideas or suggestions would you have on this one, Noemi?
You know, I remember being very sick, actually, and not having energy. But I remember that writing in my journal, which was a form of creative expression for me, was very healing. I have, like, I don't know how many journals from those years. So that was And I remember just taking little pieces of paper and drawing on them. It didn't take a lot of energy. And I'm really a very talented performer. I'm not necessarily a painter or, you know, but those paintings, I have them to this day. And they're beautifully expressive. A lot of, like, my own face with a lot of tears streaming down and kind of blackened hearts and very expressive paintings. And that helped me.
You got right into it. Yeah.
I got right into it, and it helped me. It helped me a lot.
Also, so what helped me when I went through that phase of feeling real weak is listening to uplifting music.
Right.
And also, I'm a writer, so I started writing, and I started researching every aspect of cancer recovery because I didn't totally trust the medical doctor. I didn't totally trust anybody until I found Dr. Joyner. And once I found him, it lifted my emotions, and then I had hope that I could move forward and get on the right nutritional and the right tracks that you're talking about.
Isn't that just wonderful when you meet the right person? It's so wonderful.
It is like a miracle. pardon, audience, but we just corrected a little technical problem. We were getting some feedback that we didn't like, but it is now corrected. And Naomi was just talking about her Gates of Power method, and we were just talking about how people who are going through the healing process might want to take a look at her seven methods, because they're very powerful. Naomi, where were we?
we were talking about the gate of creative expression and how important that gate is, because as we express, we release and we find our voice and we find the flow of the heart. So that's a very important gate. The next gate is the gate of life path, and that means what is your contribution? What is your mission in this life? What are your lessons? And that's obviously a very important, it's a life direction. And we know that when you don't have a direction, when you're not sure what your life path is, you feel like there is a sense of lack of meaning, a lack of fulfillment, and that can get you sick too.
Absolutely. You know, there's a book that was written that was the bestseller, I believe, 2 years ago. It's called A Purpose-Driven Life.
That's right.
And
if
we don't have a goal or purpose or understanding from our heart self where we're headed with our life, we can get very sick.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So finding what is your path, what are your gifts, your talents, your lessons, and your contribution, that creates meaning and fulfillment for you.
Sure.
So it's a very important gate for well-being.
One of the most important. If you don't have a visualization of where you're headed, you're not going to win the game of life. And I'm a sports person, so I always like to give the example of people like Michael Jordan. He actually visualized making the basket before he even shot it.
That's right.
A lot of home run hitters visualize hitting the home run before they even swing the bat.
Yes.
And those analogies apply to all of us in all of our lives at all times.
Exactly. So having a vision of where you want to take your life, where you want to take yourself, it gives you a reason to get up in the morning. So, gate of life path. The gate of silence is the gate of meditation and prayer. I cannot begin to emphasize how important this gate is. To me personally, I meditate in the morning and in the evening. And this is my most favorite, cherished time of all times, because I connect to the oneness. I connect to the greater spirit, to the great spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I connect to my innermost essence. And it's just peaceful and restful, and it's beautiful. It's
there are not enough words to describe how important it is to connect to the source of all life.
Yes.
To feel one with it. This is like the most supportive, wonderful thing that we can do for ourselves.
Let me interject something here. In the first month or two after my cancer surgery, when I realized that I had all these melanoma cells running all over my lymph system and that the doctor said I probably wouldn't survive it, I had, you know, I'm a prayerful person. I'm not a great meditator like Nomi, but I got into sort of a meditation, I guess you might call it. But my prayer to my creator was, okay, you brought me here. You put me here on this planet for many different reasons, maybe. I'm not sure all the reasons, but I know some of them. And I made the request, if this is my time to die, let it be. But if this is my time to live with purpose and meaning and having good relationships and being able to travel and do some fun things, then I want that. So I kind of released from having to have it my way because I was blinded. I was weak from my cancer and from my immune system. I needed help from a higher power, and I knew it intuitively.
Yes. And I'll tell you, I do that every day, whether I'm healthy or sick or whatever. Every day I release my life to the higher guidance.
That's
and
great.
I say, I'm here to be a channel and a vessel of your expression.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's very important, Gage.
I learned it at a very young age. We are instruments of our creator.
Absolutely.
We're not the creator, but we are.
Right.
We pass on all the good stuff, whether we're a mechanic or an engineer or a doctor or whether we're the janitor at the school. We share a lot of good things as instruments of our creator.
Yes. Meditation allows you to melt down that defensive self, to rest at peace with your emotions, and to feel that opening, that possibility of being that vessel. I mean, how can you be this vessel when your monkey mind is running around and your defensive self is going crazy and your emotional self is going, you know? So we need to quiet everybody inside of us.
Yes.
And so that's a very important gate. The last gate, the gate of knowledge, I don't have to say much about it. Everybody knows that knowledge is power. That's
very
the same,
powerful.
You know,
very powerful. Especially if it's the truth. If it's illusional power, it's not really power.
Right.
It's a myth. Illusions are myths. They're statements we say to ourselves or that we hear from others that are not true.
Right.
And I make that distinction because some people are confused about knowledge.
Yes. So you see, the gate of knowledge is something that one has to delve into inside their own, you know, it's all these big questions about life, like why are we here and who are we and what's the nature of reality and where do we go and what's the meaning of life and all of that. I mean, this is like a place of investigation that each one of us needs to do that.
Sure.
In the quiet of our own sensibilities.
Yes.
And to sense into that. And, of course, as you said, the knowledge of truth, how do we get there? How do we get to that knowledge? There are many roads. What's important is to seek that knowledge, to be passionate about it, to want it. And it will come to you. If you are looking for it, if you are looking for it, again, from your heart.
Yes.
So that's the gate of knowledge. So as we can see, without the gate of the body, we cannot do anything. If there's no body, there's no nothing. We're gone.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. Without the gate of emotions, we can get very disheveled, very wired, and very
disoriented.
Yeah. Disoriented. Infused. Without the gate of dialogue, relationships, sharing, love, communication, life is doesn't have the sweet smell of love. Without the gate of creative expression, you know, gate of life path, gate of silence, gate of knowledge, all of them are important, each one in their own way. And they're all interconnected. They're all woven together into a beautiful fabric that is called our being. And mm-hmm. we need to, you know, kind of clean and keep cultivating all of them together.
Yes, we do.
So that's what we do in the method. There are many, many exercises and processes under each gate. And each person works very individually on that according to whatever it is that they need.
It's interesting. It's interesting to me, Nomi, that your seven gates of power exist in all the counselings I've done, except that you got it in a more concrete form for people to follow. It's
right.
It's amazing. Even the 12 steps of that the alcoholic population use are in all of my counselings. They're all integrated. We're all headed. Our intentionalities are all the same. We're all headed in the same direction. And so when I first met you, I knew immediately there was an alignment of intention for people
right.
to heal and get well, and
yeah.
to stay with their, to regain their power, and be able to stay with their power as they work through their healing process.
Right, 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 right. Yes, I have just, you know, created it into a tangible, practical, very down-to-earth kind of a system that's very healthy.
I like it a lot. I like what I'm hearing. Would you share with the listening audience here tonight how they can reach you if they want to reach you? Either through your email or website or
or
whatever.
Yes. I want to say that I work with individuals, groups, couples, as I said, lecture and workshops. And I work internationally and nationally through Skype if people need to. I want to say that. My website is www.gatesofpower.com. G-A-T-E-S of power.com. My number is 212-877-0346. And a lot of information on the website if somebody wants to read and connect to me.
Yeah, I after I met Nomi, I read her website. It's a fantastic website. If that doesn't
turn you on,
I don't know what will. It's one of the better websites I've seen among holistic counselors.
Thank you so much.
And you really covered all the bases, and I'm sure that your clients really appreciate your work with them.
Thank you.
I wish you well back there in New York. I'm not a city person. I know you love New York. But I'm a country person. I'm a Californian, and of course, my goal is to move to Hawaii someday. But So that's a direction in itself.
I'm coming to visit you, John.
Of course.
In Hawaii, when you get there.
You need to get out of the city once in a while.
That's right.
And maybe I'll come and visit you in the city and get a different taste for New York.
You are so welcome. Yes, you will get a different taste.
Well, thank you very much for being on the air with us, and we're going to say good evening to the audience. And next week we'll have another guest. I don't know if they'll be as good as Nomi, but we'll find one. Have
Thank
a good evening.
Thank you very
everybody.
Much, John.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.